Cliff Schechter is, of course, a friend of the show here, founder, president of the PR firm in Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller The Real McCain, columnist for The Daily Beast, and, of course, the exceptional podcast Unprecedented, of course, with him. You can catch that as well on Patreon. He is kind enough to join us today to talk about politics. It is Cliff Schechter. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Matt. How are you, dude?
I'm doing better, and you and I can talk really quick. Pitchers and catchers are starting to report. It's a good thing.
I know. I saw that, obviously, the other day. Not that I didn't know it was happening, but MLB tweeted out. I'm like, oh, so good. We're going down to Florida for spring break, and my mom is in the Sarasota area. As you know, the Yankees aren't too far away from there, so I must disappoint you and tell you, Matt, that we will be going to one of their games.
Oh, I will say this. The Yankees are clearly taking the Red Sox seriously. They are trying to find anything they can to match up with that Red Sox team. I'm sorry, though. That Red Sox team, how they plowed through through Houston, and they went right through the Dodgers last year. I don't know how.
No, they're good, man. Yeah. I'm hoping, as a Yankees fan, that the bullpen, losing what's-his-name, whose name isn't coming to me, to the Dodgers, and not having signed Craig Kimbrell, they may actually have a kryptonite this year. But we'll see. I mean, look, I wouldn't take anything away from them. I mean, they were incredible last year, and there wasn't a weakness.
There wasn't.
The Yankees won 100 games and couldn't compete with them in the playoffs. So
wasn't just the Yankees. Yankees, Astros, and Dodgers all were really good teams, and they all look like minor leaguers compared to the Red Sox. It was good.
That's exactly right.
We'll have to see
all credit to that Red Sox team. That was an incredible team.
We'll have to see how the Twins do in the post Mauer era as that begins now. I mean, there are some hints they might throw a few dollars around yet. We'll have to see.
Well, I hope they do. The Reds made these. I live in Cincinnati, so I've become a Reds fan too, and the Reds often angered me with their lack of spending and letting the Aroldis Chapmans and Todd Frazier's and Jay Bruce's and Cueto's and others go. I think the guys I just named, they kept that core. That was a contending team. But they made some interesting trades this offseason with L.A., and they got Sonny Gray from the Yankees, who was a completely different pitcher on the road than he was at home. So who knows? I'm hoping the Reds can do some things, and maybe they'll spend a little money like the Twins.
All right, we're off baseball, but I do want to get your impression about.
We'll get to the other thing we talked about.
I want to talk about Minnesota, and namely Amy Klobuchar. Of course, the senator announced in what was kind of an iconic moment in a massive snowstorm that she's going to be running for president. In Minnesota, you and I talked a little bit before we came on the air. She's quite a bit loved here. And I mean, and it goes back to that time when she was the only senator when there was the Coleman-Franken fight. And she's really endeared herself. She runs 50-60% in red districts. I mean, she is wildly popular in outstate Minnesota, something that not a lot of Democrats are without having to be someone like Colin Peterson, who is a far right Democrat. She has been able to do that. But I mean, the question, for us, is we want to evaluate it because, I mean, we have, dreams of Walter Mondale and Hubert Humphrey again in our mind. The reality is how does Amy Klobuchar play outside of Minnesota?
Well, I think she actually played really well until some of these stories started coming out. I mean, the whole kind of, I'm a Midwesterner these days, as you're a Midwesterner, and so the whole Midwestern nice, the fact of people being polite. Look, I go back home to New York, where I grew up, in Philly, where I went to college, we're lucky when our kids were smaller and we're scared to walk down Fifth Avenue, people just kick them out in the street to get them out of the way, right? So, no offense to my friends from New York listening, of course, but here, people don't do stuff like that, and they say hello in the morning, and, she projected that whole image, which I think was a very popular image, particularly in the age of Trump, where you've got this large, sort of orange, cretin yelling at everybody and freaking out and acting like a lunatic he is, so that she almost was presented the perfect opposite. And I think a lot of people around the country want that when they take a look at Donald Trump. Of course, the problem is these stories, and I will say, if some people are saying, oh, they're just coming out around the presidential, that she's running for president. I've heard these stories for a number of years, knowing people on Capitol Hill. I'm not saying they're disqualifying. They may be. We need to know more, certainly. But, it's never okay to be abusive to staff. I've been in that position before. I have been a staffer. I quit working for a very high-profile politician here in Ohio for that very reason. because he was degrading and he was insulting. And it's not okay. You know, that's the best thing I can say. If all this stuff really is true, I'm going to say, at least for somebody like me, that's going to make me very much reevaluate whether I'll support. I mean, I'd certainly support her if she's the nominee over Donald Trump a million times. But within a Democratic primary, I think people are going to want to know more.
And you see, this is all news. I mean, I saw those stories come out too, and Huffington Post broke it really even on the Friday before she announced that there were these allegations. What did you hear? I mean, it is a very stressful job. You're a U.S. senator. It's in a position where you wear a wrong colored coat one day, and the media attacks you. You know, I guess what did you hear that elevated this more to a level of caution?
A few things along the lines, and now they've been written about, so I don't feel bad saying some of them. The two that get me worse than sort of, yes, people can send nasty emails in the middle of the night over a little mistake. I mean, that would drive me crazy. I had that happen to me, too. But that's, that you can put sort of aside and say there's probably a lot of senators and members of the House who do that.
Yes.
The stories about her throwing things, that crosses a line. And obviously, therefore, we need to make sure those are true and aren't just made up. And I would say the other one that really bothers me is the story. And again, I'd heard something along these lines. So again, you never know, right? It could be somebody just sharing something they heard. But now that it's been reported, which is her actually calling people in her office who had other job offers and wanted to leave, her finding out about them and calling those offices and having them rescind those offers. That's pretty bad.
I worked for a boss that did that, who basically, it was a radio station, and when she found out that someone was getting a better job offer, and this is illegal to do, she would call over and, tell them, you don't want to hire this person, this is a bad amount. That's actually quite illegal. That's federal law. You can't, you can't give a bad review, basically. You can say, I'm not going to give a review, but you can't give a bad review, and you sure can't go on out there to try to do a hatchet job on someone. When you hear that, that is, I don't quite know what to think about that. I mean, it does kind of deflate the bubble that we have here in Minnesota a little bit.
Well, I think she also really needs to take it head on and address this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to go away, and there's plenty of candidates we can say that for, because each candidate has at least one or two things that they're going to have to address. Nobody's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to decide, is this something that is maybe just a part of the overall pastiche, if you will. Is it part of who they are and it's something you don't like but you can live with? Or is it really something that is disqualifying? And, I don't know that yet. It's not disqualifying for me at this point, I'll say. It bothers me. It lowers her in my estimation and in where she is on my list. And I'll just, for disclosure, everybody, I don't have a favorite yet. I like Kamala Harris. I like Cory Booker. I like Beto O'Rourke. Like others too, but I haven't picked somebody who I'm definitively behind. And so Klobuchar has a lot of positives that I like. I like that image of her. I like the fact that she clearly seems like somebody who is a terrific retail politician, can win, as you pointed out, in Republican areas. It is very good at constituent services, which matters. But, how you treat people, that comes back. You'll see a lot of that. I mean, maybe not as much on the presidential level, but we should see that at the presidential level. When people come to you and they need help, that your office is there to help them. So there's a lot of good to be said. We just need to find this out. Because, again, that stuff is really, that's a problem. That is over-the-top behavior. I'm hoping she'll address it in a way that makes people feel comfortable and say, okay, but... Don't just walk away from it.
Well, and I think
it's going to go away.
I think the three things you talk about, late night emails. I think a lot of people do that, especially people in power. I mean, that's just when they get to something they knee jerk.
Yeah,
they do
that. That's not disqualifying to me at all. I mean, I don't like it, but it's not.
If she would come on out and say, yes, there was an employee in my office who had a different job offer, but I felt that they were so important to my office, I made a judgment call to basically try to keep them there. It's not necessarily excusable, but at least she's trying to make an understanding about it. And I think that any person who's been in management roles, when you think about losing someone you're going to really like, it's to a point relatable. It's not something I advise, but it's something people say, yeah, I've been there too as a manager. I don't want to lose a person, and it's hard. The throwing things, though, and I saw that one too. I think that like I said, I think to a point it's good. I think that this is all out now, because in these news cycles, we're just so freaking overloaded nowadays.
We will remember it in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
No, and I think – and I agree with you. And when I look at Klobuchar and from my perspective, and I want your gauge on this, I think Harris is a very strong candidate. Beto O'Rourke, I think, is a very strong candidate. And I think Klobuchar –
Assuming he runs,
yes. And I think Klobuchar is a very strong candidate. Outside of Biden, I would say – and this is just my interpretation – outside of Biden, those are the first three that I think about that I think of this of the group that's coming through. That's the strongest next group. And do you think I'm wrong on that, or do you feel as if that's a fair assessment? Because like I said, if Biden says he wants to run, former vice president, very well liked, remind people of the Obama administration, he's going to be a front runner, and I think a lot of people would quickly get behind Biden, especially after Trump.
Sure, he's going to be formidable if he runs. I would agree with that assessment. I think I wouldn't write off Elizabeth Warren, who obviously has a story to tell and what she's done. I think the biggest problem with her is she's let Trump and the right define what she needs to do. I mean, my response to all this stuff would have been, we all grow up being told by our families what our heritage is. We all embrace that heritage. What is wrong with you that you need to be racist against? I mean, it should have been that simple. You're being racist. I was brought up in a heritage where I'm proud of my Cherokee background. Done, right? Mm-hmm. She said she has to prove it with the DNA. I think she bought in and she played their game, and I wish she didn't. However, I wouldn't take my eyes off of her. Cory Booker is another interesting one. What's interesting is how does a 49-year-old bachelor play? I have no idea. Do people care? I don't care, obviously, one bit. But he's been. A popular figure, obviously knows how to use social media well. He's interesting. But I think, what you said, more or less, I think that's probably about right. The folks that I think are in the top, I think Booker and Warren could get in there, possibly Gillibrand. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of anger at Gillibrand over that other senator you guys had there in Minnesota. Whether it's deserved or not doesn't much matter. It's out there.
I don't think Gillibrand's going to be coming to Minnesota anytime. I can tell you, she is not liked here, and I think that would actually, if she did become the Democratic nominee, Minnesota could go to the Republicans. I am dead serious. She is so disliked about that whole Franken thing. I don't know how she'll play out, but I actually don't see her as knocking off Harris or Klobuchar or Beto O'Rourke if he runs, or even Booker if he runs.
I don't think so either. I think, frankly. People bring up the Franken thing. I think in general, Gillibrand has been too much of an opportunist, and she's burned a lot of bridges. It's not the Franken thing. I mean, she took shots at Bill and Hillary Clinton, which if you're trying to build your base up in New York, your fundraising base and everything else, that's not a smart way to go. Mm-hmm. And I would add into that, my problem with Gillibrand has always been that, I don't like how she got that appointment. I don't like that her dad was a Republican lobbyist in Albany. This may be too inside baseball for some people, but her dad was a Republican lobbyist with a good relationship with Patterson, who only became governor of New York because Elliot Spitzer stepped down. So here you had this guy who became governor almost by default and handed the prize to somebody who was new on the scene and really in many people's eyes. I mean, there are these longtime members of Congress, Jerry Nadler, Anita Lowey, who'd earned it. You know what I mean? And I think that's played into this whole, the opportunism of her, and that she was very anti-gun control and anti-immigrant when she was in this more conservative district, and then magically she moves, is all of New York, and she's like the most progressive person in the room on those. So I think there are people like me that don't forgive for that. Forget the Franken thing. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think she's in that. I think either Warren or Booker could potentially get in there. And the one other person I'd throw out there is, sitting here in Ohio, is Sherrod Brown. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't count him out. He holds on in this state. He's got an appeal that directly sort of answers back Donald Trump's faux, anti-trade stuff, which is, Sherrod Brown's taken on some of our trade deals for years. It's a reason why he wins a lot of voters in the, in Minnesota. He would, I think, in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, a number of northern states that feel burned by some of our trade deals. Mm-hmm. And so I think if Brown gets in, he can vault into that top group also. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think Brown definitely could pull in Pennsylvania too, and I think that is a great dark horse candidate when you look at it. One final thing on these candidates, I did want to burn up Bernie Sanders. The problem that Bernie has is that when it was and forget about O'Malley who ran in 2016, it was really Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And right. when it was the two, he was able to come in and get some good wins in that race. You know, if he runs now, he's not going to do that well in California with Harris. He's not going to do that well in New Jersey with Booker. He's not going to do that well in New York with Gillibrand. He's not going to do that well in Ohio with Brown. He's not going to do that well in Minnesota with Klobuchar. And some of these states where he
may be in trouble in New Hampshire with Warren being a New Englander.
Yeah. But I think that his appeal across the country is going to the more people that are in this race, that actually hurts Bernie Sanders because it basically means he has to, you know, be much more proactive at catering a message to each individual state.
Well, I'd say that's exactly right. He basically, if you didn't like Hillary for any reason, you had Bernie.
Yes.
Right? He was sort of you just could throw in with him and say, I don't like what they're telling me, the person who looks like is going to be our nominee. Now, suddenly, you're right, there's these different slices. If he's trying to grab young people, Beto O'Rourke did a better job even than he did of that. So now he's got to counter that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's trying to win people on economic populism, Warren's done pretty damn well on that. I think it definitely complicates things. And frankly, you know, again, I'm going to be honest about my feelings about Gillibrand and everybody else. There are people like me that will just simply never forgive him. It's not that he ran against Hillary Clinton, completely legitimate. It's how his supporters acted at the convention and how he did not stop them. It's how he said he was going to become a Democrat, joined the party then, and left the party to run as an independent. It was how he always seems to have to separate himself out. He does a lot of both parties are terrible, where he throws the Democrats in as, you know, alongside the Republicans as if the yes, there's a corporate Democratic wing. I'm not fond of it. It's a wing of the Democratic Party. It's not the whole party. And he acts sometimes like both parties are the same. It reminds me of some of that Ralph Nader stuff. And how long he stayed in the race. So I'm just, you know, yes, if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, I would support him in a second over Donald Trump, but as far as I'm concerned, he'd be the last person I'd support. I will never forgive him for 16. And I do somewhat blame him for the fact that Donald Trump is president of the United States and his supporters. So, you know, I think there's a lot of other people out there like me.
I think as well, and I mean, I'm your standards there, and I mean, obviously, you brought your justifications with you. I look at it as I just don't think he's going to do it because I just don't think the path for him to finish close is just not there as it was in 2016. Let's take a quick break if we can, and I want to come back and I want to talk a little bit about Ilhan Omar, and you know, she lashes back at Trump today, but I mean, once again, just you know, the mistake that's made, and the fact that the Democrats are held to a very different standard by the media than the Republicans are. Cliff Schechter joining us. We'll take a quick break. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know I purchase my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchased, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Cards keep you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
We are sleepwalking into a disaster. Climate change is burning down our forests, flooding our coastlines, and parking the polar vortex in our own backyard. What can we do? Please join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska for a one-hour talk from meteorologist Paul Douglas on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Paul's new book is called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. This talk is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series hosted at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. It has the big red rocker out front at 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by the Southwest Metro and Chaska Citizens Climate Lobby, Interfaith Power and Light, and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
After celebrating the Blue Wave at the Blue State Ball, join me, Tom Hartman, the morning after for brunch at the Downtowner Wood Fire Grill on Sunday, March 3rd. It's your chance to discuss with me the big issues of the day in a small group setting. You can guarantee your spot at the brunch by pre-purchasing your ticket for $150. These tickets are very limited and will go fast. So call 952-946-8885 to reserve your spot now. More details on AM950Radio.com. That's AM950Radio.com.
It's the sale you love at the Electric Fetus. Now through Sunday, February 17th, take 20% off your purchase store-wide. New and used vinyl, CDs, DVDs, clothing, jewelry, unique gifts, and more. Save 20% off during the Electric Fetus Valentine's Day sale. Some restrictions apply. 20% off is good in the store at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis, as well as Duluth. Save on great music and more during the Valentine's Day at the Electric Fetus.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Never heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today. Ilhan Omar, she made a mistake. She, and I think we talked about this on the show a few days ago, Cliff, and that, you know, here she is. She's in the spotlight. She's being told she's invincible. She's one of these new, you know, kind of popular freshman Democrats.
Young up-and-comers.
Yep, up-and-comers. And then she basically goes after AIPAC. And she makes a comment which, you know, and like I said, it clearly had racial or anti-Semitic undertones. And, you know, she apologized profusely about it, but first of all, your thoughts on that, because Trump and Pence are already saying that she should be punished, but yet, I mean, we can go through the laundry list of stuff those guys have said, anti-Semitic stuff that's come from that administration, and yet they don't want to even acknowledge that.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. I mean, again, they're not good faith operators. They're not people that care about running the government in a sane way. They're people that actually have to constantly look for bread and circuses to distract everybody from the garbage job they're doing. We just passed $22 trillion, you know, in debt from these fiscal conservatives, quote unquote, who are going to do all this stuff to rein in the debt. All they do ever is create more. They can't govern. So this is what you get. I mean, Donald Trump, it speaks for itself, right? He hired Sepp Gorka, a guy who belonged to a Hungarian organization, or order, I guess it would be called, that was founded by Nazi collaborators post-World War II. And that's what its lineage up to the present day. You know, he's somebody who hired Jeff Sessions initially, somebody who joked about the KKK and how great they were. He's somebody who hired Steve Bannon, who said he didn't want to send his kids to school with Jewish kids because they're all spoiled brats. And the list goes on. Mike Pence, after a number of Jewish worshipers, while they're worshiping, are murdered at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, shows up to hold what's supposed to ostensibly be some kind of a service for them, and invites a Jew for Jesus to be there, a cult group that spends their time trying to attract and trick Jews into joining them. I mean, which is one of the perhaps one of the biggest insults you ever could do. So, I mean, they have no credibility. They're ridiculous. At the same time, you know, so those of us here who try to look at things with an honest, honest appreciation of what's going on, you look at that, as I did when it happened, and said, I don't think she meant it. But I said something to her, I tweeted something, and just because my feeling was, you need to understand that when you're saying that it's all about money to Jews, there's a long history of that.
Yes.
You know, if I stand up and I put on a beret and I say something in a French accent and I love my baguette, everybody laughs and there's no problem. I stand up and I do blackface, there's a problem.
Yes.
And that's because everything is not equal. There's a history of blackface used to denigrate a certain group of people. It's the same thing with the money insult. She could have put it differently. She could have pointed out the power of AIPAC, and they are evil in what they do. AIPAC essentially gets together evangelical voters who want all Jews to return to Israel so the rapture can happen and we can all die. Why not point that out, and how cynical AIPAC is and what they do? So, you know, that's what those of us said who honestly wanted to have a conversation about it. She gave what I thought was a terrific apology, and that's that. It's done. Pence and Trump, sit down and shut up.
Well,
you know, they and this group of, I mean, Steve King and Steve Scalise, who called himself a cleaned-up David Duke. And, I mean, we go on and on and name the bunch of hoods they're running around with in the House who have white supremacists in the Senate. White supremacist connections have been pictured in Confederate regalia, like Cindy Hyde-Smith. Where was their distancing from her? When it came out, she's sitting there dressed up in this Confederate outfit. I mean, that's treason besides being racist.
Well, and you know? And you nailed it. Right. I mean, there are groups, you know, the Jewish people, African Americans, Native Americans, Hispanic immigrants. These are groups that have a long history of being mistreated horribly. And so, no, there isn't wiggle room here. There isn't some, you know, like you said, like I'm going to put a beret on and eat a baguette and say, ooh, I'm a French guy. You know, there is a difference here. But once again, here we are. The media is demanding, as soon as, you know, Representative Omar said this, you had every Democrat had to condemn her. Every Democrat had to apologize in triplicate. And as you bring up this laundry list of stuff, for God's sake, Steve King alone, if we held the Republicans to the same standards that the Democrats are held to by the media, that Steve King would, you know, that they'd be still apologizing today for that. We are living in a country right now where the Democrats always have to apologize and always have to, you know, acquiesce. Needless to say, the Republicans can just say no comment. And, well, they said no comment. What can we do?
Again, it's sort of our cowed, weak mainstream media. There's so many things wrong with it. And they're failing. I mean, there are individual great reporters. I always feel compelled to point that out. There are some people that have broken away from the both sides model. I think of someone like John Harwood at CNBC, who's terrific and says what the truth is. That's what reporters are supposed to do, because if they don't tell us the truth, how are we supposed to make informed choices in a democracy? It's impossible. But instead, they get cowed by Fox News and Sean Hannity calling them names and Rush Limbaugh and then Donald Trump calling them names. And so they do the bidding of the other side, and they're doing such a disservice to our democracy. They're harming democracy and, frankly, undermining it. And they just can't seem to change. Obviously, there's other pressures. There's pressures in the newsroom coming from conservative publishers that own some of their publications and people who want ratings and don't care. But it's shameful. It's shameful and it's pathetic. As you said, Republicans, I mean, they had to answer for every one of these types of transgressions. Mm-hmm. They had three neo-Nazis running under their banner last election, openly.
Yes.
Neo-Nazis, the Republican nominees, and that they would not disavow a number of them. I mean, you know, like, it's ludicrous. It is absolutely ludicrous. It is both sides garbage.
Well,
if anything ever leads to the end of democracy in America, it will be that.
Well, Mike Pence's whole transgender ban from the military, for God's sakes. That's just bigotry in policy form, for God's sakes. All right. The podcast, we still running that. Patreon, that is, you and John still going on that one?
We are. You know, we just had a number of really interesting folks on, and of course, the moment of truth. I would forget the one that I wanted to name, but we just had a couple really good ones. One got picked up by Anderson Cooper on CNN. We're moving, man. We come on by to Patreon.
It's where all the cool kids hang out. I will put up the links later on the Twitter, on the Facebook, but go subscribe. And I'm dead serious when I say this. There are very few podcasts I think are worth anything. Unprecedented with Cliff Schechter is one of them. It is very good. It is very solid. And you will be a smarter individual and a better individual by listening to it. So subscribe to that. There you go.
Thank you so much. You're awesome, by the way. And I'll say quickly, because the name came to me finally. I'm an idiot. We had Representative Adam Schiff on.
Okay. Nice.
And he was quoted. We quoted him, and Anderson Cooper quoted our show on CNN. So we're doing some things. Come on by and check us out. And by the way, I would say how great this show is, but people clearly are smart enough to already be listening if they're listening to me. So it seems unnecessary. Keep doing what you're doing. We need you out there, Matt.
Cliff Schechter. Hey, Cliff, I appreciate it, my friend. I will talk to you before too long.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.